Isn't it great to be a Christian?
Yes.
I said, isn't it great to be a Christian?
Yes.
All right. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church. That's y'all, okay? That's us. Be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together then said, amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 20:21. Well, it hardly seems possible that we're rapidly winding down to the end of another year, Lord willing, that we live till the end of the year. That the world keeps on spinning till the end of the year. If you're a good Bible student, you know that we live in the last days, and the Lord is going to come in one of these days. I know this, that life can get tedious, can't it? Some weeks are easier than other weeks. Some weeks a little harder. Just want to encourage you, wherever you are today, I see a lot of family and friends that are in, getting ready to celebrate the holiday together. And I hope that you'll have the merriest of times with your loved ones and are able to rejoice with them. You know, and I know, that we really don't know the date that Jesus was born. We just believe he was. Hello? We believe he was. Okay? We believe that he was born. And, hey, anytime we have an opportunity to share with the world what God did through his son, his beloved son, to show us his love and how to love through him so that we can have eternal life, it's always a great thing. When angels speak. When I say Charlie Brown Christmas, what do you think of? I'm not going to impose on your mind. There are just a number of things that you might think of. You might think of a scraggly old tree. Huh? How many of you think of that, poor looking little thing, in the old Charlie Brown Christmas? There are a lot of characters to think about. I don't know who your favorite one is. There's probably too many really, to count. We all probably have some way of identifying. Now, I see a lot of pig pens out here. Maybe a Linus or two. Maybe even a Lucy. And I suppose we have a couple of Charlies in here. My son was telling me last week that he took his family down along with some church people that went and took their kids down to the Gaylord, Texas, Resort and Convention Center. I think that's the official title of the place, where there is a repeat performance of ice sculpture of the Charlie Brown Christmas. And he said one of the kids, as they were looking all around, looking at a number of different things, it was just a really awe-inspiring sight at all of the different sculptures of the Charlie Brown Christmas characters and different scenes and so forth. I haven't personally seen it, so I don't know what to describe for you. I would imagine it was cold. I would hope it was. But he said one of the children were looking at one, and they turned around and all of a sudden let out this big scream. And what the girl was screaming at, she's a little child, it is a 25-foot sculptured angel. John and his wife said it was awesome how somebody could have sculptured this angelic figure in that large estate there, that thing. I don't know what you think of when you think about angels. We as Christians, probably don't and haven't spent enough time in figuring out or maybe learning all of the great things there are to learn about angels. I'm going to invite you back for some Sunday evening lessons at the beginning of the year. We're going to talk all about angels and talk about what they do and how they affect us. The Bible is full of a lot of different scriptures about the ministering angels that we have. I think of, that's one of those great passages over there in the book of Hebrews, where it says in chapter 11, or excuse me, in chapter 1, and in verse 13, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand and until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Are they, meaning the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service, to minister for the sake of those who are the heirs of salvation? Any of you in here heirs of salvation? Well, that ought to be a passage that just sort of excites you, encourages you. Because we're told directly by the scripture that there are ministering spirits to those of us who are awaiting and looking forward to that day when we will be with our Heavenly Father. What would you do if an angel spoke to you? Well, you know, the last few days or maybe week and a half or so have been kind of hectic in my life. That I'm using that as an excuse, I guess, to say to you that maybe some things didn't get turned in on time. So David was reading from my text this morning. And that's okay, Ben, where you are. We don't have to go to the text. We've read it already. I'm going to make a few references to it. But what do you do when the angels speak? I want to point out to you a couple of things about the angels, and I hope that we will understand that that terminology, though we don't fully grasp all of it, I want you to know that not all ministering spirits are good ones. Jesus would say in John chapter 8 and verse 44, I think you have that scripture over there somewhere, as he was talking, I think, to the Pharisees, the crowd that was being very critical, of course, you know, of Jesus. That's what their job was, apparently. They did it well. But he said to them, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. They were the servants of Satan. They were ministering servants to Satan. I just simply say to that, that when you get an idea, and especially one that would be as grandeur as a, well, I'm going to say a 25-foot ice sculpture, it might not necessarily have always been that angelic figure that we have or picture we have in our own mind. In the text, the scripture that David read to us from the book of Matthew chapter 1, we were reading about the birth of Jesus. I know that you know that. I want to point out a couple of things in that reading that I think are important to our story here today and to our concept of what we're going to be talking about. But what do you do when the angel speaks? That's what I'm asking you today. Joseph, who was finding himself in quite a predicament with the woman that he was promised to marry or had promised to marry. We would call that an engagement, even though it took on maybe a little different flavor in those days, a little more detailed than maybe what ours would be. We learn from the scriptures, first of all, I think it's worth pointing out, the King James says that Joseph is a just man. I think the NIV that David read from said that he was a man of the law, meaning that he followed Moses' law. The New American Standard Version calls him a righteous man. And when you think about the parentage, I'm talking about the earthly parentage of Jesus, the family. Are you listening to that? There's a family involved here. And even though we know Jesus to be of the Heavenly Father, and that what was found in Mary was of the Holy Spirit, isn't that what the angel said to Joseph? To convince him that he need not worry or be concerned, God has got this thing, right? In other words, this was God's plan. And the angel was making a communication to him to follow or stay the course. That is, to continue to be that just man. Later in a little bit, we'll look at another passage, and it will say that Mary is highly favored among women. You see, the two parents, the parents of Jesus, the home that Jesus would come from, came from the kind of people that were good, that were just, that were highly favored among even their peers, among women all over. Mary was highly favored. And I think that's worth stressing, because I know that in our world, with all of the things that happen in our lives, you know, children can, well, children can just be a great joy or sometimes great sadness for us. Don't forget, Jesus came from a family. And he came from parents who were just and highly favored. That's our job. I don't think that they were void of ever having made a mistake. I think the Bible teaches plainly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Am I reaching you here? But he was raised by good parents. He was in a good home. And I think when angels speak to us, we ought to do as Joseph did. He could have been the first person for Nike. He just did it. Yeah, I mean, that could have been where that slogan was born, because when the angel finished telling him this story that had to be a difficult one to believe, he went out and did exactly as the angel had said for him to do. Joseph did it. Because the angel told him that what was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. And when God says to do something, Joseph helps us to see that it's our job to do it. That's what we're here for. Later on, in Matthew chapter 2, Joseph will have another visit by an angel. Now, you might be thinking, I've never had an angel visit. Joseph has got two recorded here for us. I don't want to dwell too much on that whole idea, but come back and hear the series. You might change your mind about having angels visit. The whole point is that the angel came another time and told him that he needed to take his family to Egypt. Why? Because Jesus was in danger, wasn't he? Herod was going to see to it that he did away with all the children that might be the age of Jesus in hopes of doing away with this king that was born to Israel. We all know that that didn't work. In fact, it had already been prophesied by Hosea over in chapter 11 of his book in verse 1 that that would happen. That is, that God would call his son out of Egypt. And this is what's being fulfilled. In fact, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16, that's exactly what we read. This was done so that the scripture could be fulfilled, the prophecy could be fulfilled for Joseph to do it. A just man. But what if he didn't do it? Well, I know you believe like I believe God would have found another way that it would have happened. But the point is he did it. So when angels speak, let's do like Joseph and let's do. Now I want to take you to the book of Luke and to another illustration of a different person, a man by the name Zechariah. In Luke chapter 1, in verses 8 and following, we read a number of things about this priest. In the first few verses, you will see that he is a faithful priest. But by the time you get down to verse 11, and he has an appearance, or excuse me, a setting appointment with an angel, you'll find him to be a fearful priest. And in both cases, even with Joseph, as it is with Zechariah, the angel says, "Fear not." How many of you have ever been afraid? I'm raising my hand. How come you're not? I've been afraid. There have been things a whole lot less than an angel taking a look at me and me being afraid. I've been afraid before. Fear not. Those are the words from the angelic being. And as he speaks to this priest, he gives him a task. The priest is in the temple. You know this story. I know that you know about it. And he's told about this Christ child that will come, and he doesn't believe it. And the angel says and pronounces to him that he will not be able to speak until that Christ child would come. How shall I know this? And the angel says, "You will not speak until the days are fulfilled, because you did not believe my words." And my whole point in this is just simply to say to you that every time you might think of the idea of an angel that might bring you a message, it's not always a good outcome. You see, one of the things that's required of it is that we have to learn to recognize them, and then we have to be obedient to it. We have to follow it. We have to do it. Now, eventually, Zechariah will get there. He's not much different than Moses. You remember that guy, don't you? Out in the desert out there, and here's this bush. And he sees it. He wants to know what's going on with a bush that's burning and not consumed. He's told to get his shoes off. He does it. And God begins to speak through the bush. And he begins to give him instructions about what to do, about going down into Egypt and leading his people out. And what does he do? He gets ready and goes and does it, right? You haven't read the story? Well, God, you got the wrong guy. I'm not that guy. I can't speak. I can't do it. If you've read the story, you know that God answered all of his questions and did away with all of his excuses and told him to go and take care of what to do. When the angels speak, it's not our job to question him. When the angel speaks, it's our job to do it. That's the message of this whole thing. The idea of doing what God says for me to do. Don't question what God tells us. Thirdly, for all you Cowboy fans, what time do they play today? No, don't answer. I know you know that. You gotta have confidence in the one who's calling the play. Now we got a big plague up there in Dallas. We got a football coach and maybe an owner or two, and I think most of the conversation these days is, what's wrong with those guys? By the way, how was Coach Garrett's play calling last week? Nobody gonna say anything, are you? Don't ask me how it'll be today. I'm not predicting a win. I'm just simply saying that when somebody speaks, you gotta have confidence. If they're the leader, you gotta have confidence in what the leader says. And I'm not trying to liken football or Garrett or Jerry Jones to these angels, but I want you to know that over in the book of Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through 28, the angel comes and tells Mary all about what's going to happen for her, to say that she is highly favored among women. She is blessed among all women. Her only question is tell me how it's going to happen. How will it be, is what she says. How will these things be? And when it's all done with, she says, let it be to me according to your word. See, when the angel comes and speaks, that's what we're supposed to say. Whatever you say, God. Let it be according to your word. Because you see, with God, the very next verse, verse 37, says, nothing is impossible with God. Can we get an amen here? When the angel speaks, when God tells us, it's going to be according to his word, and nothing is impossible to him. And we have to have confidence in the one who tells us about what to do. And then the last one for today. He tells us about some shepherds. Now, I heard the other day that scholars didn't know that there were actually four wise men. I saw this on Facebook. It has to be true. Right? Yeah, there was a fourth wise man, but he was rejected because he brought fruitcake. Is there anybody in this room that likes fruitcake? Come on, raise your hand. Do you like fruitcake? Look at the hands go up. Everybody I see all the time, I say, nobody likes fruitcake. Well, somebody must like it. They keep making it. And they sell it all over the world if you go to Corsicana and go to the Collins Street Bakery. So somebody likes it. We call them three wise men. The Bible calls them shepherds. And they happen to be in the same place where the child is born. I said happened. Boy, that was a bad choice of words. We know that they were there because God placed them there. And they have gone down to see the Christ child. And the angel says, let this be a sign for you. Go down to the city of David. Everybody knew what the city of David was. They didn't have to say, what city is that? They didn't question anything. They just went down to the city of David. You see, once again, here it is. We have the angel speak. They're told to go. They're told to do. And we have folks who are going and they're doing. Where were they going, brethren? I know the city of David, but really, where were they going? I mean, this is the conclusion of the sermon. You should be getting this by now. They were going to see Jesus. Are you with me? Can we at least agree on this simple idea today? When the angels speak to us, when the Word of God speaks to us, they want us to see Jesus. That's who we're going to see. And we may use it as a holiday to get together and say, well, it's good to see my family and my friends. It's great to be around with one another. That's good. We exchange gifts and have a great time, and I think that's a marvelous thing. But don't forget that the purpose of Jesus coming into the world was for us to meet Him, for us to go see Him, for us to go and investigate Him, to see that He came into the world to be the Savior of the world and to be the Savior for you and for me. Jesus is calling to the entire world, the entire nation, come and see me. Come to me. Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's why Jesus came. I don't know how anybody gets through our world today without Jesus. I hope you're not without Him. I'm inviting you to come and hear that when angels speak, you come and see Jesus.